Have you ever reached for a snack that you just know is bad for you, completely against your own conscious will? Like you're standing in the pantry, your brain is telling you to grab an apple, but your hand just bypasses the fruit bowl entirely.
Oh, yeah. Going straight for the highly processed junk food.
Exactly. We have all been there. It feels like this momentary lapse in willpower, right?
Yeah.
But what if an algorithm understood that inner conflict better than you do?
That is the big question.
Welcome to today's deep dive. I'm really excited about this one. We are exploring a fascinating case study from an ethics and consumer marketing workshop. We're going to get into the intersection of biology, artificial intelligence, and honestly, the deepest philosophical questions of human identity.
It really does get profound pretty quickly. We are looking at what happens when technology, specifically biometric and emotion AI, knows what you actually want versus what you just think you want.
Right, and the massive ethical dilemmas that creates. So to really understand how invasive this is, we have to start with something incredibly mundane.
Yes, the most mundane thing possible. Snack food.
Okay, let's unpack this. We are talking about the famous marketing experiment involving those messy cheese snacks. You know, the ones that leave that bright fluorescent orange dust all over your fingers?
I know exactly what you're talking about. They are irresistible, but objectively, it is a messy situation.
Yeah, and socially, it's not a great look to sit there licking your fingers in public.
Mm-hmm.
So a major snack food company ran some focus groups.
Right. They brought consumers into these sterile conference rooms, handed them surveys, and basically asked, how do you feel about the orange dust?
And the feedback was pretty much unanimous, wasn't it?
Completely. People explicitly stated that they hated the dust, they said they hated licking their fingers, and they really wanted a clean version of the treat.
Which makes sense. I mean, from a business perspective, you listen to your customers. So the company started spending money to develop a dust-free version.
Right. Bake the flavor right into the snack. No mess.
But, and here's the crazy part, they didn't just stop at the surveys. They ran this parallel, super advanced psychological experiment alongside it.
Yeah, they hooked these consumers up to EEG caps to track their brainwaves, and they monitored their blood dopamine levels while they were actually eating the original messy snack.
And the reveal here is just wild. The brain data showed a massive contradiction.
It completely contradicted their conscious feedback. Secretly, biologically speaking, the consumers loved the messy dust.
Wait, so they enjoyed the part they said they hated?
Exactly. When they were licking their fingers, their dopamine levels just surged. The EEG showed massive spikes in pleasure.
I mean, it's like telling yourself you want to read a classic novel tonight, but your thumb automatically clicks on reality TV.
That's a perfect way to look at it.
But I have to push back a little here. Are people just lying to themselves on these surveys, or is the brain data somehow, I don't know, misinterpreting their physical reactions as desire?
What's fascinating here is that it isn't just lying. It's a genuine structural split between what consumers want to want, like the clean snack, and what they biologically really want, which is the messy dust.
Wanting to want, that is a really weird concept to wrap your head around.
It is, but it reveals a fundamentally fragmented human self.
So this isn't just a quirky marketing story about cheese puffs.
No, not at all. It leads us directly into a really profound philosophical problem of personal identity. The sources break our desires down into three distinct layers.
Okay, lay them out for me.
Sure. So first, you have the biological me. This is basically the id. It's the primal part of you that absolutely craves the messy, salty, fatty Cheetos.
Right, the inner caveman who just wants the calories.
Exactly. Then layer two is the conscious ego. This is who I think I am. It's the person who filled out the survey saying, I want clean fingers, please.
The civilized person in the conference room.
Right. And finally, you have the ideal superego. This is the version of you that wishes it didn't even want the junk food in the first place.
Oh, so the version of me that just naturally craves raw carrots and hummus.
Precisely. That is the superego.
So what does this all mean? I mean, if I'm the one physically standing in my kitchen chewing the food, aren't all three of these me's complicit?
Well, yes, they are happening inside one brain.
Right. So how can we say one is more real than the other?
That is the million-dollar philosophical dilemma. Are these essentially three different people living in one body, or just different aspects of a single person?
Which sounds like a debate for a college philosophy class, not a tech boardroom.
You would think so, but it matters enormously for technology right now. If tech companies are building algorithms to serve us, developers first have to answer the impossible question of which us they're actually serving.
Oh, wow. Yeah, because the algorithm has to pick a side. It's like a corporate hierarchy inside your skull. The CEO is your conscious mind sending out memos about healthy eating, but the warehouse workers down below are just throwing a massive junk food party.
And the CEO has no idea what's happening in the warehouse.
So if our own identity is that fragmented, what happens when we plug that divided brain into a recommendation algorithm?
Well, that transitions us from a fun theoretical snack dilemma to a very high-stakes real-world tech application. Let's look at the Netflix dilemma.
Yes, the movie experiment. This blew my mind.
It's an experiment from the University of Toronto. They aimed to use brainwaves to predict what movies people would actually enjoy.
And they set up a really clever control group first, right?
Right. The control was just predicting based on what users say they like. So a user might come in and consciously claim, oh, I love action adventure, you know, noble superhero movies.
The ego talking again.
Exactly. But then came the experiment. They used AI to analyze the user's brainwaves and biometric data while watching different clips to find what they actually responded to.
And what the AI found was totally different from what they claimed.
Completely different. The user comes out of the machine.
Yeah.
The researcher basically has to say, look, you think you like noble superheroes, but your brain chemistry proves you actually want bloody, gory slasher films.
Here's where it gets really interesting, because if I put myself in the listener's shoes, if I'm that user, I would be absolutely mortified.
Most people would be.
I mean, if a streaming service just completely bypassed my conscious choice and started auto-playing slasher films because my sweat gland said I liked it, that feels like a violation.
It definitely feels invasive.
Shouldn't an algorithm fundamentally respect autonomy? Like, shouldn't it respect what I say I want, even if my biology disagrees?
Well, that introduces the core crisis here. Emotion AI forces a crisis of autonomy, which is all about self-determination.
Right. Being in control of your own choices.
Exactly. But if your conscious mind and your neurochemistry are actively disagreeing, who is the self that actually gets to be determined?
Who gets the final vote?
Right. Emotion AI forces society to pick a side on who the true person is. Is it the person you aspire to be? Or the biological animal underneath.
Having a secret horror movie obsession exposed sounds awful. But is there a world where this invasive AI actually does us a profound favor?
There is a very strong argument for that, yes.
Because it seems like it could force us to be honest.
Exactly. The sources present this really provocative counterargument. If you believe there is one true me, like an authentic self we might not consciously know yet, then this brainwave analyzing machine is actually a deeply positive tool.
Because it's stripping away all the self-deception.
Precisely. It helps users define who they truly are. It cuts through the lies we tell ourselves to look good for society. And furthermore, it touches on human dignity.
Wait, dignity? How is it dignified to have a machine expose your secret cravings?
Well, dignity involves taking responsibility for who we truly are, even if the machine tells us things we really don't want to hear.
So are we saying it's actually a more dignified way to live to just accept my inner gore hound rather than pretending to be this noble superhero fan?
If we connect this to the bigger picture, yes. From a purely technological and performance standpoint, determining what people truly want from their lives is a massive triumph.
It's radical authenticity.
Exactly, radical authenticity. It forces humans to drop the act. And philosophers argue that living an authentic life has a distinct value regardless of the discomfort it causes.
Okay, I see the merit in that. But achieving this raw truth, I mean, it comes at a pretty devastating cost to our inner lives, doesn't it?
It really does. And that pivots us to the final, unavoidable consequence of this technology, which is the complete death of mental privacy.
Because you can't have radical transparency and keep your secrets.
No, you can't. Think about what this machine is doing. It tells you what you want, despite the fact that you actively did not want to tell the machine.
You literally tried to hide it, and the AI just bypassed your defenses.
Right. It is a profound violation. For anyone who advocates for individual privacy, this biometric emotion AI is just a waking nightmare. It really cannot be justified.
It's a zero-sum game. We gain this perfect AI-driven self-knowledge, but we lose the fundamental right to keep our own secrets from ourselves.
And from the corporations running the algorithms.
Which is terrifying. I need to have a space in my head that is just mine, even if it's contradictory or messy.
This raises an important question, though. It synthesizes the core conflict of our whole deep dive today.
The clash between the technological triumph and the privacy violation.
Exactly. The triumph of achieving authenticity and dignity versus the horrific violation of personal privacy and conscious autonomy. What kind of future are we actually building when we develop these tools.
Man, that is a heavy trade-off. To briefly recap the journey we just went on for you listening, we started with the messy orange dust of Cheetos, right?
A very humble beginning.
Very humble. And we uncovered these three layers of human desire fighting inside us. And we ended up facing a terrifying AI capable of bypassing our conscious minds to expose our hidden movie tastes.
It escalated quickly from snack food to the death of privacy.
It really did. And I want to leave you with a brand new thought-provoking question that builds on all of this material.
Oh, this ought to be good.
Think about this. If we eventually have AI neural implants that can not only read our true biological wants, but actually adjust them.
Oh, wow. Like tuning your brain chemistry.
Exactly. Tuning it so that you genuinely crave carrots instead of Cheetos or classic novels instead of gore. If we did that, would we finally be our ideal selves?
Or would we have just allowed an algorithm to delete our humanity entirely?
That is the question. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. Think twice the next time a streaming algorithm seems to know exactly what you want to watch.
Because it might know you better than you know yourself.
Catch you on the next one.